We're back with our conversation on the book of Philippians in chapter 2, where we're learning about what it means to live a generous life and how to show up. So grab your girlfriends, grab your Bible, and join us. That's coming up.
From Crossroads Media, this is See Hear Love, the podcast with Melinda Estabrooks, season 8, episode number 30.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Welcome back to See, Hear, Love, and you've caught us on our second week of our four-part Bible study series on A Conversation with Philippians, and I'm here with my good friend, Alita and Krista. Welcome back.
Thank you.
How much fun was it to do the first chapter together?
So great.
Just, I got new insights from you ladies.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was really good. Alita, what about you?
It's one of my favorite things to talk about the Bible with girlfriends. So I had a great time. I'm looking forward to today.
Yeah, it was really good. And I love that we talked about living in community. We talked about prayer. We talked about unity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I read through again the book of, you know, the first chapter. And I was like, there's some things that I even personally need to work on.
Yeah.
I need to do some good heart work. And some good people connection work. So I really, really...
Scripture has a good way of doing that. It does.
It really does. And to you, our viewers and listeners, if you haven't done so already, please make sure you go to seeherelove.com/study guide and download your study guide so you can follow along with us. You can answer the application questions, get out your Bible and your cup of tea or coffee. And let's get ready to go into Chapter 2 that I know, Krista, you are going to lead us through today.
Yes.
Exciting, exciting.
Well, it is just an honor to be here with you ladies today and to go through this. And as we know, last week, we looked at those themes, Alita, that you brought forward on this idea of community, of unity, of prayer, these ideas which are perfectly taking us into what Paul is telling us in chapter 2. So when he starts out chapter 2, he says, if there is any encouragement from being united with Christ. So right at the top, he's taking us back to that idea of unity. But what's so interesting is we read that in our English language and we go, if there's any encouragement, like if there's something in there that's for me, well then. But if we actually roll back and look at the original language, Paul is saying to them, since there is this encouragement in Christ. Since Christ has done this for you, let's go.
Yeah.
And so as we unpack it, he says, really, if there's any encouragement with Christ, since there is encouragement with Christ, since there is comfort from his love, since there is fellowship with the Spirit, and if there is tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. So back to that idea of unity again. Since we know this to be true, this is what we need to do. Now, I just want to stop here for a second and just tell you, this is so interesting. So when he says in here, one spirit, this idea of one spirit is really relational intimacy. So it's really building off of what we already looked at, this idea of community. We need to be in community. We need to dive into this, and we really need to know each other. And then he goes on and he says to them, you are a generous people, he says, keep on being generous. So what's interesting in this chapter is it's probably got one of the most famous passages in the New Testament, famous because it's written like a hymn. And we won't read the whole thing here, but I would really encourage you to go in and really look at it. And it starts in verse 6, who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he made himself nothing. So I read through this and I went, that's probably the most generous act that a person has ever done. And that's why we kind of land in this theme in this chapter too, mm-hmm. of generosity. Yeah. So this idea that we see here, we're going to look at what does it look like to be generous? What does it look like to then work that out in our lives?
Good.
And we have to ask ourselves some really tough questions. So, you know, Melinda, I look at this and the question that comes to my mind is, like, what things are holding you back in your life from truly being generous?
Not just an easy question to kick
no,
it off.
No, I know.
So generous is interesting because immediately people think generosity means financial giving.
Yeah.
But generosity is also our time and the resources we have and literally, like, what's in our hand? What do we have? I would say what holds me back, I mean, now it sounds so bad when I say it publicly.
Say it!
Yeah, but I think, okay, in all honesty, I think there's a part of selfishness. I think there's a part of complacency. I think there's a part of just, you know, if I think like generous of my time and resource, it's, I haven't made a priority. I'm busy.
Yeah.
And I think there is a part of the selfishness where it's like, you know, I want things for me.
Right.
Do I really want to give to others? Do they deserve it? I work hard for what I deserve. So I want that all for me.
Totally.
So that's the honest answer.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being honest. Honesty is good.
Yeah.
And I was really struck when I read this, because it was like the Lord just brought to my mind this idea of we are seeing a blueprint for our lives in this passage of scripture that says we need to be generous in how we show up in other people's lives. And that generosity is very sacrificial and it's very hard work.
Mm-hmm.
That's and Paul is laying this out and he's going, I know this is hard. You've been generous, but I really want to call you to more because I want you to grow. So
that's
interesting.
Good.
There's a verse in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. And it just struck me as we were studying and getting ready to do this. It says there, a generous person will prosper. Mm-hmm. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed.
Mm. And that, I like that.
Kind of hit me, and I'll tell you why it hit me. Because we go on in this passage of scripture, and after we see this whole description of what Jesus did for us, being in human likeness, being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And then it hits, therefore God highly exalted him and gave him this place of honor that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow.
Yeah.
This idea that he became nothing and then he became everything. And so here, even in this passage in Proverbs, when I refresh others, I am refreshed. Mm. And Alita, when I say, make a statement like that, what comes to your mind? Do you think of times in your life when you have refreshed someone? How has it made you feel?
Given. Right. It's the old adage, right? To give is always better than to receive.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that there's this very real reality in which when you, the initial practice of generosity, I don't think comes maybe naturally to anybody. We're kind of born selfish, like me.
Yeah.
But once you begin to practice generosity, whether it's time or finances or whatever the thing is, it does begin to shape you and form you and you, for myself anyways, and I think most friends that I have kind of discussed this with, it does turn you, it refreshes you. I mean, I'm not even sure another word to use for it. It's true what that says, where it does give you cause to, oh, I love doing this. It's actually a joy for me. And so it doesn't become a hard thing anymore, even though at first maybe it was a hard thing to have to learn how to do. So
I know, it's like a dopamine rush.
Yes,
it's like the best dopamine rush in the world when you actually do something. But here's the kicker. This is where we're gonna land as we bring this section of what we're doing to a close. I want you to think about this in the context of your motivation. Why am I doing this? So Paul goes on in this passage of scripture and he kind of brings that into real focus in chapter 14, in verse 14. He says, do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars. And I love it. And he says, hold on to the word of life. This is what's gonna actually be your motivation. And the thing that's so interesting is we see this idea of working it out. We need to work it out. He says there in verse 12, he says, go on and do what you've always done. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Well, you look at that and you think, well, I've got to do. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm panicking. Mm-hmm. But it's really, this statement is really the idea of employing ourselves in the things that accompany our salvation. So in one of the earliest transcripts of the Bible, this is so fascinating, the words are rendered there, do the work or the business of your lives. The work that you are to do in your generation, which God has called and directed mm-hmm. you to do, just do it. Yeah. Just do it. So the question that we really need to lean into, and you know, Alita, what has God placed in front of you to do?
Right?
It's a
good question. Yeah. And you know what, that changes from person to person.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a question that I get asked about all the time. Calling versus, you know, what you're just actually supposed to do with your life. But for myself, I can just say to answer that question, right now, the season of life that I'm in, I know two things are, I kind of run everything, everything goes through the gauge of two things. Mm-hmm. Motherhood, because I still have, you know, mm-hmm. kids that are home that I want to take to and from school, and ministry. So everything kind of goes through that lens. And if it doesn't line up with that, then I'm not doing it. But it's like what you were saying, the motivation behind both of those things, because it's not either or, it's both and.
Yeah.
And with both of those things, the motivation is, Lord, this is what I know you've entrusted to me for this time, for this
And it can purpose. Look different in different seasons, right? Because depending on how the kids grow up, where you're at.
Right.
What's going on.
Right. And ministry has only really full-time has only been a relatively new thing in the last 5 years because I was just, I needed to be a stay-at-home. I didn't need to be, I suppose, but that's what I chose. Mm-hmm. And I embraced that and it was wonderful. And now I'm moved into a new season. And so this is what God's put in my life for now. But even beyond that, there's also other things that he's entrusted to be generous with, like time. I may not, you know, finances may be a bit of a barrier in some things, mm-hmm. but I can have the time to go on a walk with a neighbor or to have a girlfriend.
I think time is a big thing. Yeah. I think one of the things that probably the biggest compliment I've ever received are from my girlfriends who say you show up. Hmm. You really honor us and you're generous with your time. Like you actually are intentional. You take the time for us. You listen. So I think you're right. I mean, generosity in life is, can it be financial? 100%. Is it time? Mm-hmm. Yes. Is it intentionality of being present? Yes. Mm-hmm. Is it, you know what I mean? So there's just those different parts of living this generous life within community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think people need to know that and have that be reframed.
And so I think what we see Paul saying here is it's the posture that you take, because the bottom line is you don't know what's going to happen in your life tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You don't know what's going to happen in 20 minutes.
Right.
I don't either.
Right.
But what I do know is how I want to be in the next moment.
Right.
In the next 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So do I show up, Paul says, without mm-hmm. complaining and arguing? Mm-hmm. Do I shine like a star? Do I hold on mm-hmm. to the word of life? Am I glad and do I rejoice with those mm-hmm. around me? Those are generous acts. Mm-hmm. And I know that in our first session together, I talked about, you know, that food is love. Mm-hmm. So I didn't mean for this to happen, but time is love.
Yeah.
Time is love. Mm-hmm. When I show up and I really know you and I see you, it's one of the most generous acts that I can do. It's better than giving you $1 million. Mm-hmm. It's loving you and seeing you and being with you. And Paul is saying to these early believers, and he's saying to us, be like Jesus. This is the blueprint. Mm-hmm. This is how we're supposed to be.
Yeah, and I think too, I mean, when I look at Jesus, I mean, everyone's like, why do you follow Jesus? Like, I have a lot of people who aren't Christian. Mm-hmm. When I look at his life, there was such a generous spirit of time and friendship and goodness and inclusivity and welcoming. Mm-hmm. And I say he was generous. And people are like, well, what do you mean? I mean, he was a carpenter's son. Like, son, he's not wealthy.
Right.
I'm like, we have to change that generosity is not always connected to monetary money.
Right.
But generosity is, like we keep saying, is about showing up and being present. That's what I honestly love about Jesus. Every time, let the kids come to me. Yes. Let's sit and hang out. Yeah. Let me go to a party. Oh, wait, let me nap. Like, right. Everything about Jesus I love. Like, everything about Jesus I love in that way about him is generous life.
He really taught us that we're to live right in the moment. Mm-hmm. And there's a really interesting thing that we look at in psychology called perspection. And it's like understanding the past so that we can look to the future with hope, allowing us in the present moment to live in it, mm-hmm. to not always be going, what's going to happen over there, but going right now in this moment. And so that question of what has God placed right in front of you, it's a moment by moment thing.
Right, yeah.
And I think when we live like that, we end up in seeing acts of generosity around us, mm-hmm. and we actually participate in mm-hmm. them in a new and fresh way because we're showing up mm-hmm. in the moment.
That's good. It's like being present right. when sirens in downtown Vancouver are going behind us and you're like, focus in. Do not be distracted.
Right.
Focus in.
That's a good word. Jesus, there's a lot of things that Jesus wasn't. He was undistracted. Mm-hmm. He was unhurried.
Yeah.
And he just was unbothered.
Yeah.
And I feel like if we can just show up in people's lives like that, all of those things are an act of generosity towards other people.
It's perfect. Well, I need to take a pause because we need to go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how we can apply chapter 2 into our lives. So stay with us. Make sure if you don't have the study guide, download at seeherelove.com/study guide. We'll be right back.
It is deafening. The noise of countless voices shouting thousands of messages, challenging values, chafing at history. One cause is overwritten by another, and yet one more, until any chance of unity is lost in the confusion. But there is a timeless clarion voice speaking hope, security, and life. It is God's voice in the Bible. A strong, clear signal in the deafening racket that reveals Christ and extends his invitation to a transformed life of goodness, joy, and peace. The Canadian Bible Society is compelled to make God's voice heard clearly above the noise.
All right, and we're back with Krista and Alita as we talk about how we can apply chapter 2 of Philippians to our lives in big ways of living a generous life.
Thanks, Mel. You know, it's interesting as we look at this passage in verse 17, Paul really almost ties a little bit of a bow on this idea of generosity. And he says there that I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith. And I am glad and rejoice with you all. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. It's this camaraderie and this generosity. But they understood that picture because it was very, very common in that day as they were giving sacrifices in the temple that there was this idea of pouring out a blessing over the generosity, the gift that had been given. And I was thinking about how does that apply to us? Like, where do we see this show up? And, you know, Alita, I think we all look at that and go, yeah, generosity, so good. But there are things that hold us back. What are the things that in your mind will hold you back from giving that extra bit to somebody or giving of yourself?
You know, I think it's maybe it's slightly different for everybody, but for myself, I know that usually it feels like finances are a big one. You know, for kids, we don't live in an exactly very cheap city to live in. And so, you know, it's often for me that ends up being the thing, oh, I feel like I should, but we just can't. And then you kind of reason it out in your head, but you know, I'm being generous to my kids because anyways, that's one thing for me that I've seen play itself out. And then another one is that I just feel, and these are wrong perceptions, I'm acknowledging that, but another thing I feel is that time, I just don't have the time to go out for lunch with that friend that I know could really use it, or you know, whatever the thing is that would require my time. Those two things, for me, I often feel the tug of war of, I know I should, and it sounds good, but I excuse it because maybe it's a scarcity mindset. You know, have you heard of that? There's like a bit of a scarcity mindset. Yeah. And so then I just hold on to what I do have. Mm-hmm. And I say, well, I'm trying to be wise with my time and my finances. I kind of hide behind that when really it's like, oh, actually, if I just did this, then the Lord would.
Mm-hmm. We build a story in our mind that justifies our actions.
Yeah.
So that is one of those places where we actually have to stop and go, wait a minute, why am I making that decision? Mm-hmm. What's motivating that? Mm-hmm. And you know, Mel, when we look at that, mm-hmm. when you've seen people show up in your life
yeah.
in generous ways, mm-hmm. how has it changed you?
Yeah, I call it the 3 Ds. So through depression, divorce, and death.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've shared this story for many years when through the show, I've been speaking to a lot of women's conferences, but when I went through a very dark night of the soul, my depression, mm-hmm. Over and over, the generosity of women and men from the church who sat with me and just sat, and who combed my hair and who cleaned my house. And for 8 months, the people of God showed up.
Wow,
I could not
beautiful.
Give them anything. They gave it all. And I think the generosity of loving without expecting in return mm-hmm. is one of the most beautiful pictures of generous living. It changed me. I was able to get out of the depression, and I say to these people, like, without them, I would not be here. Mm-hmm. The second thing, quickly, going through a divorce, a public divorce, you know, again, people showing up, not judging, but loving, helping and healing and restoration. You know, speaking truth, generosity of love and spoken words of hope. Generosity of hope is a big one. Really, again, I'm here today doing women's ministry in a time where you might not be because of that, almost like scarlet letter on you. And then finally, I say death, in that, you know, last year I went through ICU. Through a really difficult time in emergency surgery, and I was pretty close to death. And again, people showed up, not only for me, but for my husband, to support him, showed up in so many practical ways of food and care and love. And so I am the recipient, Krista, of the generosity of people's time, the generosity of people's words, and the generosity of people's love.
That's beautiful.
And here I am.
And you know what's so interesting with what you're saying? I think it's really important for us to just sit for a moment and recognize that what you experienced is exactly what Paul's talking about here in chapter 2. When he's describing what Jesus did for us, that sacrificial death on a cross, there's no small emphasis on the sacrifice that it was.
That's good.
And I think sometimes we want to be generous because of the good feels and the good vibes. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't one good feeling that Jesus had while he died for us.
Mm-hmm.
He just went, I got to do this because these people need me. And it doesn't matter about what I feel right now. Mm-hmm. It's about what these people need, and they need salvation.
Mm-hmm.
That is the message of generosity that we see here in chapter 2. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It is beautiful.
That's so good.
And so,
and you know, Krista, and what about for you? Where have you seen generosity shown in your life?
I have seen generosity show up in the incredible care that I have received from people when I have been really low. And I've had a really rough year this past year. And kind of, I felt like a good way to describe it would be to, I lost the plot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that happens. And for us women sometimes. And I had people show up for me in ways like, we care more about you than we care about your job. We care more about you than we care about your performance and what you bring to the table and the stuff you lead. We care more about you being whole and healthy, and what's that going to take? And it's a very beautiful thing. But here's the piece that's hard. When you go and you do and you be and you try to be that generous person for others, sometimes there's a little bit of humbling that needs to take place in order to receive that generosity from others. And that's been a huge life lesson for me this year and a beautiful lesson. And it's the lesson we see in Philippians chapter 2.
Yes,
we do. Humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even death on a cross.
Yeah.
And then God highly exalted him. It's this beautiful upside down truth about what it looks like to live life generously.
And can you imagine if we all live that way, right?
I know.
Like, I actually think about that for a moment as, you know, we're talking about how we've received, you know, generous love and care. But imagine if we all did that, there wouldn't be a lot of lonely, you know, people that are feeling, you know, isolated or marginalized. Like, generosity flows out of, and like you're saying, like this love and this care for people. And I just think, man, how different our neighborhoods, our homes, our nation, world would look if that's how we lived.
Totally. And you know, just one last thought about this just came to me now. This idea, when we talk about our emotional attachment to generosity, it, you know, we like to feel the good feeling, but really Jesus did this. He was obedient unto death. There's this connection between that kind of generosity towards people who are hard to love, who are marginalized, who we have to go out of our way for. Sometimes it's not a feeling, it's an act of obedience.
That's right.
That is a sweet offering to Jesus. Like, Jesus, I know what you did for me. The least I can do is give a cup of water to somebody else. It's that kind of, it's a mindset change that I think changes the way we show up in the world.
That's good. And Alita, quickly for you, where have you seen generosity shown to you?
I've seen it show up in so many different ways. I have so many stories, but I will just quickly share one bullet point version of a story that meant a lot to us. And we first moved to British Columbia about 11 years ago now. We had three little boys at the time, and we were trying to find a place to rent. It took us 9 months, finally got into one. And you know, rent was just very, very expensive. And so every month it was just a very humbling season for us having moved here. And we were struggling. And so we were praying for just the Lord to meet our needs every month. And one month it was getting, due date was almost there, and it was like, we are in the 11th hour, Lord. And you know, money just doesn't fall from the sky. And somebody from our church community, without having any idea, showed up at our door and said, this is going to sound wild, but we were praying for you and we felt like you were, and it was the exact amount. Brian wasn't, is my husband, he wasn't home. I just stood on our front steps and cried and couldn't believe I was seen. I felt cared for. I mean, all of the things. And so that's, I have a lot of those kinds of stories. But that was a beautiful.
You know, when people are attuned to that, like, I mean, I was brought up in a missionary family, so we were living in the Philippines and Singapore, and over, we would be in great need, and there'd be a check from Canada. There'd be a check from a church in Canada that said, you know what? Our congregation put together this care package or check because we just really felt God say you needed it. And I'm not even joking. We'd come and my dad's like, I don't know what we're gonna do. Like, but we know we're supposed to serve, you know, the people of the Philippines, and we know we're supposed to be here. But, and then we'd open the mailbox and there's this check from a church in London, Ontario, Canada, that was to the exact amount we needed.
Right.
Amazing.
And this is what it is. It's like, it sounds so supernatural, which it is, but I believe it's just the natural way that it works when we're generous and we're in tune with Jesus. You know what I mean? Exactly what you're saying, Krista.
Absolutely,
And over again.
Right. It is the blueprint.
It is the blueprint.
For our life.
And having experienced the generosity of others, it's cyclical, right? Like we then in turn are generous with others.
Yeah.
And that's the part. It just replicates itself. Mm-hmm. We remember those stories and the impact they've made in our lives, and we, you know, pay it forward, as you know, society would say, but really that's a biblical concept to just keep doing it.
Totally.
Rich conversation. Thank you so much. I mean, we've gone through chapter one, now we're chapter two. We've talked about living community, and we've talked about living a generous life. And then chapter three, we're gonna be talking about living with confidence, which I'm really excited to discuss, because a lot of women that connect with See Here Love are always struggling with confidence. The imposter syndrome, living a life, you know, that's truly, you know, sort of their authentic self. So I'm excited for chapter three. Yep. And I'm just so thrilled that we can go through the scriptures, talk about it, learn from each other, and then share our stories about what God is doing in our lives. So thank you. Can't wait till chapter three and next week. Yay. And to you, our viewers and listeners, I hope you can't wait. Again, if you have not downloaded the study guide, how come? Go to seeherlove.com/study guide, download it. invite your girlfriends and your friends who would be interested. If you haven't seen chapter one, the first show, please go in and do that. And get ready for chapter three and start reading chapter three of Philippians this week. And don't forget to look at the application questions and answer them. Lots to do. I know it sounds like a lot of homework, but it's going to help you. As we discuss, you'll be really part of the conversation. And always know that as you do, as you live in community, as you live a generous life, you are seen, you are heard, and you are deeply loved by God. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to See Here Love the podcast with Melinda Estabrooks. Stay connected with our daily posts and stories on Instagram or Facebook at See Here Love, or join our newsletter at www.seeherelove.com.